The U.S. and South Korea have been engaging in frequent small-scale military drills since South Korean President Yoon took office. The joint U.S.-South Korea military exercises are scheduled to begin on August 22nd and will be the largest in about 4 years. Pyongyang views the drills as a rehearsal for invasion. This year's maneuvers will include an amphibious landing. The upcoming drills will also involve a U.S. aircraft carrier strike group and strategic weapons. The South's Yoon also said he hoped to strengthen the U.S. extended deterrence commitment to defend South Korea with nuclear weapons. Frank Smith, Seoul.
The sizzling temperatures have cooled off in the U.K., but the inflation rate is only heating up. Prices are going up everywhere, as inflation, this time driven by food price hikes, jumps to its highest level since 1982, coming in at more than 10%. Millions of families across Britain are now trying to make their money stretch, but it's getting harder by the day.
My weekly, my monthly, everything's shop is increasing. I'm shopping right now whilst I'm at work to just save time. Because not only is your time money, but we don't really have much of that thing called money.
I am having to budget myself, limit myself, to try and ensure that my wage lasts the whole month, considering I'm having to pay for petrol, bills, rent. It does all add up.
It's harder for me to afford things because, you know, I don't have the steady income like most people do in London.
Economists say the UK is facing a perfect inflation storm caused by a number of factors. Brexit and the delays and disruptions it has caused to the supply chain, the pandemic, and the ongoing Western-backed war in Ukraine.
The UK economy reopened suddenly after COVID, creating bottlenecks at ports compounded by post-Brexit red tape, followed by astronomical energy prices resulting from a decision to wean the UK from Russian energy. Inside the UK, that has translated into higher transport and packaging costs, soaring energy and food prices. That means bills getting more and more expensive in supermarkets, restaurants, and gas stations, feeding the demand for higher pay, which adds further to business costs, which turns into even higher prices. And it is that demand for wage increases that's seen multiple public sector strikes in recent weeks. It's a worsening mess that some economists say is in large part the UK government's own doing.
The answer is the war in Ukraine. And you will say, well, is the war in Ukraine going to come to an end? And the answer is no, not if the UK government can help it. You see, Western foreign policy is involved in another debacle.
All this at a time when the UK awaits a new prime minister. Whoever they may be, they have their job cut out for them. Sai Puriza, London.
In the limelight.
As Americans go about their daily lives, severely affected COVID patients are wondering if others are moving too quickly from the worst days of the pandemic. We have prepared for you an article written by Maya Yang. The piece is titled, Most Have Thrown Their Hands Up. Has the US forgotten about COVID? Despite signs that indicate the latest COVID-19 surge is slowing down, an average of 400 deaths in the United States is still reported on a daily basis. Various face mask and social distancing mandates across the country are becoming anything but strictly enforced. But as Americans and many of their elected officials go about their daily lives, many healthcare professionals still on the front lines of the pandemic and severely affected COVID-19 patients are left wondering whether the rest of the Americans are moving too quickly from the worst days of the pandemic. Have they simply forgotten about the COVID-19 pandemic? Data obtained recently by the Center for Disease Control and Prevention, the CDC, reveals that the rate of new infections has been decreasing, with the country reporting an average of 107,000 new cases a day. This marks a 12% decrease compared to infection rates 2 weeks ago. According to the Department of Health and Human Services, even though hospital admission rates have been increasing across the United States this summer as a result of highly infectious variants, the amount of patients currently hospitalized with COVID-19 has plateaued at 43,000 patients. By contrast, more than 160,000 virus-positive patients were hospitalized during last winter's surge. Nevertheless, the daily average of 400 deaths across the country since spring remained a concerning figure for healthcare officials. Arghaban Sales, a clinical associate professor at Stanford University's School of Medicine, expressed her frustrations over how officials and the public appears to be moving on from COVID-19, which continues to put healthcare workers under huge strain. Sales, who worked at intensive care units during the height of the pandemic, said, "It feels somewhat like a personal affront, like all our sacrifices mean absolutely nothing because in the end, no one cares." The majority of the recent infections come from BA4 and BA5 subvariants of Omicron, whose original strain first emerged over 8 months ago. According to the Center for Disease Control and Prevention, the CDC, the two variants appear to represent over 80% of the U.S. cases. With the virus continuing to mutate, breakthrough and rebound infections are becoming increasingly common, especially with the BA5 variant. New data published in June by Harvard Medical School researchers reveals that the BA4 and BA5 appear to evade antibody responses from people who have been fully vaccinated and boosted and those who have previously gotten COVID-19. The researchers said in a statement, "We observed threefold reductions of neutralizing antibody titers induced by vaccination and infection against BA4 and BA5 compared with BA1 and BA2. Which are already substantially lower than the original COVID-19 variants. BA4 and BA5 have been the fastest spreading variants since the pandemic began. More recently, reports have been emerging of another Omicron subvariant, BA4.6, which is Omicron's seventh major subvariant since the variant first appeared in Africa last November. According to health experts, BA4.6 possesses a certain mutation that gives it an increased ability to avoid antibodies. Currently, BA4.6 has a 10% growth advantage over BA5, and experts predict that the advantage will only grow larger. As the pandemic stretches on and vaccines roll out, numerous restrictions are being eased. States have been lifting restricted capacity limits and large-scale mask orders, while many others are no longer requiring proof of vaccination to travel or to enter dining facilities. Recently, the Center for Disease Control and Prevention, the CDC, issued new guidelines that loosened its recommendations on social distancing and quarantining. Individuals who were exposed to COVID-19 no longer have to quarantine unless they develop symptoms or test positive. Unvaccinated people who have been exposed should test on the fifth day of exposure and wear a high-quality face mask. Additionally, the CDC no longer recommends screening asymptomatic individuals who have not had a known exposure to the virus. CDC epidemiologist Greta Mazzetti said in a statement, This guidance acknowledges that the pandemic is not over, but also helps us move to a point where COVID-19 no longer severely disrupts our daily lives. Arghawan Sales disagrees, she said. The new guidelines, suggesting people who have been exposed don't need to quarantine but should instead wear a face mask, is likely to accelerate the spread of the disease, especially because they don't even say what kind of face mask. What is, in their view, a high-quality mask? And given the lack of face mask mandates and the overall low rates of people wearing face masks, it seems unlikely people would comply with this anyway. She said, their guidance suggesting those who have tested positive only need to isolate for 5 days, but should avoid being around those who are likely to get very sick from COVID-19, indicates they only care about isolation if the person who is likely to be infected is at high risk. Not many people are aware of other people's health problems, medications, or their immune systems. As a result, Sales says, this guidance will put more people, and especially those with disabilities and immunocompromised status, at greater risk for getting sick. Currently, only 67% of the US population are considered fully vaccinated. Moreover, only 32% of the population have received a booster dose. Healthcare officials have repeatedly stressed the effectiveness of vaccines in mitigating COVID-19. However, vaccine hesitancy as a result of misinformation, wariness, and other factors continues to hold many back. Earlier this month, Dr. Anthony Fauci, the director of the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases, warned individuals that if they are not up to date with their vaccines or booster vaccine shots, they will experience a difficult fall and winter. Dr. Anthony Fauci said, if they don't get vaccinated or they don't get boosted, they're going to get into trouble, adding that the country's vaccine and booster rates are quite discouraging. According to Dr. Fauci, booster shots that target newer variants such as BA5 will probably be available next month. He said, if you aren't worried about your personal risk, do it for your communal responsibility. In May, the White House COVID-19 response coordinator, Dr. Ashish Jha, predicted that the U.S. may experience a major surge in winter with 100 million new infections and a significant number of deaths and hospitalizations. World Health Organization, WHO, spokesperson Margaret Harris said, we're indeed very much still in the middle of the pandemic with intense transmission globally, with close to 1 million cases daily and, sadly, over 14,000 people dying every week. Margaret Harris added, with such high levels of transmission, it is not surprising that the SARS-CoV-2 virus continues to evolve. With the pandemic slowly moving out of the public's consciousness, healthcare workers continue to face a daily battle, fighting not only the virus but also significant staffing shortages in the field and a slew of mental health issues. According to Matthew Allen, a nurse at Mount Sinai Hospital in New York City, who spoke to the New York Times, many hospitals across the U.S. are facing a severe nursing shortage. In New York, the nursing shortage is at an all-time high. Judy Sheridan Gonzalez, a nurse in the city's Montefiore Medical Center, who has spent 40 years in emergency rooms, told Spectrum News that she used to attend to 6 patients at a time. Now she sometimes attends to 20 patients. She said, it's impossible to cover people during their breaks. You do the best that you can. According to a recent survey by the Massachusetts Health and Hospital Association, 13.6% of nursing positions at acute care hospitals in Massachusetts are unfilled. There are over 5,000 nursing positions that need to be filled statewide. In addition to healthcare workers, many individuals are still severely affected by the pandemic as they experience post-COVID conditions or long COVID. Symptoms include protracted brain fog, fatigue, chest pains, hallucinations, heart palpitations, and difficulty breathing. Research is increasingly showing that hundreds of millions of people are probably suffering from long COVID-19 globally.
This is A to Z, an introduction into Husseini lifestyle. Today's lesson, the patience of Al-Imam Al-Hussein alayhi salam. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Welcome everyone, you're listening to A to Z program from the IRB English Radio. I'm your host Hussein Inzano. And in today's lesson, we're talking about the patience of Al-Imam Al-Hussein alayhi salam. When we're talking about Al-Imam Al-Hussein alayhi salam and his patience, we are definitely talking about someone who went through a lot during his lifetime. Al-Imam Hussein went through a lot during his younger part of life. When he was young, when he was living with his grandfather, he experienced a lot of things that needed patience from him. And through all these period of times when his grandfather was living and his mother, Sayyida Fatima al-Zahra alayhi salam, was living, when his brother also, Hassan al-Mujtaba, during all this time, there were so many difficulties that these people were facing that Imam Hussein alayhi salam had to practice so much patience to make sure that he doesn't feel bad about it. You know, to make sure that he understands it, he gets it, and doesn't, you know, like complain and say anything bad against God, that whatever is happening now is something that is bad to me. No, he exercised a lot of patience towards these particular periods of time. So the patience and forbearance of His Eminence, Al-Imam Al-Hussein, and his unflinching attitude on the day of Ashura is among the rarest of examples through which humanity was recognized. After all this period of time, after all these hardships that Imam Hussein went through during his grandfather, his grandmother, his father Ali ibn Abi Talib, after all this, Imam Hussein had to practice more patience during the time of Ashura in the and it was among the rarest examples through which humanity was supposed to be recognized, because it was a very bad happening. The day of Ashura is a very heavy day on the house of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam, and Imam Hussein was like the foreman, was the leader of this particular events that took place in the day of Ashura. And here we realize that he had a very high grade of patience.
Why is my heart set on fire when I hear your name?
As-salamu alayk, ya Aba Abdullah.
Wa ala
Welcome back. You're listening to A to Z program from the IRB English Radio, and we're talking about the patience of Al-Imam Al-Hussein alayhi salam. Al-Imam Al-Hussein alayhi salam practiced so much patience during his life, as we're saying, during his younger age and during his older age also, and during the age when he was living with his mother, he experienced so many difficulties and he showed so much patience. But we are saying that the patience and the forbearance of His Eminence during the inflicting attitude on the day of Ashura, during the event of Karbala, is the rarest of examples through which humanity was recognized. The bravery, the valor of Hussein became a parable, and his patience in the battle has rendered the past and future people powerless. Each difficulties of His Eminence, Al-Imam Hussein, was alone sufficient to render a person powerless and defeated just by him showing his patience, or by him accepting any difficulty that he was going through at the time, was a show of powerlessness and defeatedness to those who were against him. Historians say that no type of tragedy weakened the resolve of His Eminence. His Eminence became satisfied with divine decree and submitted to God's command. And this is the essence of Islam and perfection of faith. Until next episode, inshallah, fi amanillah, wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Thank you very much, dear listeners, for listening to this episode of A to Z. Don't forget to visit our website at parstoday.com/en/Islam page, where you can find all our previous programs and many others as well. Until another episode and another lesson, fi amanillah, and God bless you all.
Better friends than you, but anyone stay here won't be alive tomorrow. You can save yourself tonight and go. A deep silence filled the air.
Join us in this journey, IRIB English Radio. Please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
Wildfires in Greece, Turkey, the United States.
Palestinian prisoners in Israeli jails continue to engage in hunger strikes.
Kim Yo-jong, the powerful sister of North Korean leader.
On the news line.
Early on Thursday, the Israeli military has shot down 7 Palestinian non-governmental civil society and human rights organizations in the occupied West Bank. The military broke into the offices of the organizations and confiscated property. Palestinians' foreign ministry has censored the raids as an attempt to silence the voice of truth and justice, saying rights groups remain the prime target of the regime because they document its crimes against Palestinians. 6 of the organizations raided had been criminalized as terrorist organizations in October 2021 by Israel, which claimed they were affiliated with the Popular Front for the Liberation of Palestine. The groups have decried the move as politically motivated and baseless. The organizations targeted on Thursday work in fields such as human rights, prisoner support, children's rights, and healthcare. The organizations that have been outlawed by Israel are Ad-Damir and Al-Haq, which document human rights violations by Israel, and the Union of Palestinian Women's Committees, Bissan Center for Research, DCI, Defense for Children International Palestine, as well as the Union of Agricultural Work Committees. The seventh organization was the Union of Health Work Committees. Since 1967, Israel has banned more than 400 local and international organizations, including all major Palestinian political parties. Analysts speculate that Israel had attacked the groups because they were becoming increasingly effective at exposing Israel's repression of Palestinian people.
That their Achilles heel is their ongoing horrific violations of human rights, which are losing them support throughout the world. And so they're apparently thinking that they can kill the messenger and get rid of those who are reporting on their crimes just by shutting them down on spurious pretenses.
The Israeli army has deprived generations of Palestinians in the West Bank of their basic civil right, including the right to expression, regularly using military force to suppress Palestinian people. The latest raid on Palestinian non-governmental human rights organizations and their designations as terrorist organizations have been denounced by UN experts and were rejected by 9 European states that fund targeted groups. The European countries also called Israel's allegations against the NGOs unsubstantiated. Last year, Israel's leading human rights group, B'Tselem, said in a report that Israel is not a democracy but an apartheid regime that systematically oppresses the Palestinians via military occupation and racist laws, is using laws, practices, and organized violence to cement the supremacy of one group over another.
Israel is obviously trying to silence the voices of critics who've been documenting the ongoing abuses of human rights, the murders of children, shooting down teenagers, bombing targets and killing all sorts of people, often at random. They're essentially ongoing massacres, not to mention the torture, which is a systematic feature of Israeli policy.
Israeli policies and practices toward Palestinians in the occupied Palestinian territories should be scrutinized, but only condemning Israeli raids on Palestinian civil society groups is not enough. It's high time the UN and international organizations took direct action against Israeli atrocities.
Tensions are rising between Turkey and Syria. Ankara has launched airstrikes on military posts in northern Syria, killing several army soldiers and injuring several more. There are now concerns that a military operation in northern Syria by Turkish forces is imminent. Sources say a new cross-border offensive by Turkey looms large. Turkish forces have reportedly used loudspeakers in mosques in border areas close to the Jarabulus city to ask people to stay indoors in preparation for the operation. Reports also say numerous Turkish combat drones could be seen flying in the skies over areas in proximity to the frontier. Turkish soldiers are also mobilizing in most of the border towns of Hasaka, Raqqa, and Aleppo provinces. The Turkish president has already hinted at a possible military incursion. On August 8th, Recep Tayyip Erdogan said Ankara's decision to establish a 30-kilometer deep secure line along the country's southern border is final. Ankara says it's going to curb Kurdish militants operating in that area.
They want actually to annex the northern part of Syria. This is an ambition that Turkey has to regain, to enlarge some territory that it once had. And I think this is not something that is acceptable either to Syria or even to Russia. Russia wants to have good relations with Turkey, but not at this price, I think.
The US-backed Kurdish People's Protection Unit, or YPG, militant group, which is the backbone of SDF, is present there. Ankara says YPG militants are terrorists. Damascus has warned Ankara against violating its sovereignty. Both Iran and Russia, which have been aiding Damascus in its anti-terror campaign, are also against Turkey's possible offensive. Turkey has deployed forces in Syria in violation of the Arab country's sovereignty and territorial integrity. Ankara-backed militants were deployed to northeastern Syria in October 2019. Back then, Turkish forces launched a cross-border invasion to push YPG militants away. Since 2016, Turkey has launched three military operations inside Syria. When the crisis began on Syria in 2011, Ankara backed militants fighting against the government in Damascus. For years, it provided them with weapons and military support in a bid to topple the government of Syrian President Bashar al-Assad.
So this is perhaps just a what we sometimes call a red herring, that is something that will distract the observers from what is actually going on. It makes it appear, makes Turkey appear to be reasonable, when in fact they don't have a reasonable agenda at all. They have an unreasonable agenda.
However, there are signs that Turkey may have changed its policy on Syria. Just recently, it was revealed that the Turkish foreign minister had a brief conversation with his Syrian counterpart last October. The top Turkish diplomat has stressed that there needs to be a reconciliation between opposition groups and the Damascus government. There are reports that Ankara was evaluating the possibility of starting talks with the Syrian government. The leader of Turkey's Nationalist Movement Party has also supported comments to mend relations with neighboring Syria. Turkey now appears to be in a difficult position. The country's economy is now in its worst situation in decades. It's spending nearly $2 billion in northern Syria annually. And sentiments against Syrian refugees in Turkey are rising. That could potentially cost Erdogan his political career. In order to fix it, Erdogan needs to establish relations with Syria.
I think it's going to be a major problem. The Turkish attack indicates that they are not going to accept a reasonable compromise and to respect the territorial integrity of Syria. So this is going to be a major problem.
But at the same time, Ankara does not want to lose Syria card with regards to anti-Assad militants. However, its possible military adventure in northern Syria could trigger another catastrophe in a country which is in the midst of a prolonged crisis.
Tensions are once again heating up between France and its former colony, Mali. The African nation has accused the European country of violating its territorial integrity and arming terrorists. Malian Foreign Ministry has written a letter to the head of the United Nations Security Council urging the body to punish France over its interventionist policies in Mali. We have several pieces of evidence that these flagrant violations of Malian airspace were used by France to collect intelligence for terrorist groups operating in the Sahel and to drop arms and ammunition to them. Mali has called on the UN Security Council to ensure that France, quote, immediately ceases its acts of aggression. Mali has cited an attack on Tessit camp as evidence of the meddling of France in the African nation.
As to what gains France would have from arming the terrorist groups and operating across Mali, in northern Mali specifically, I think the French are very angry because they have been kicked out of Mali by the Malian authorities. And they are about to finish their evacuation, military bases evacuation from the country, if they have not finished already.
Mali says after the attack, which claimed the lives of 42 soldiers, quote, clandestine and uncoordinated overflight operations were conducted. Mali also says it reserves the right to use self-defense in the face of measures that undermine the stability of the African nation. France has, however, rejected the allegation, saying it's actually fighting the terrorists.
Essentially, the problem here is the French want to cling to the West African country in Mali and across the region, the Sahel region, for as long as possible. This is their traditional sphere for influence, and they would prefer to stay there.
The latest spat between Mali and France follows a barrage of accusations and counter-accusations between the two nations. France has apparently completed the withdrawal of its forces from Mali. The withdrawal has ended a 9-year operation in the country. France began its mission in Mali in 2013. The operation was aimed at eradicating militants that Paris claimed were linked to the Al-Qaeda and Daesh terrorist groups. France deployed thousands of troops to purportedly prevent separatist forces from reaching Bamako. But the war proved disastrous for Mali and its people. The war caused several thousand deaths and more than a million people to flee their homes. Anti-France sentiments are running high among Malians amid the rising civilian death toll. People were long demanding the withdrawal of the troops of their former colonizer.
I think France, you know, because of its colonial history in West Africa, is not able to extricate itself voluntarily. What we've noticed over the last several months, there's been numerous demonstrations against French military presence in Mali and in other West African countries.
Mali fell under French colonial rule in 1892, which lasted until 1960. But years after outright colonization, it is still seeking to bring the countries in Africa under its colonial rule. It has had more than 50 military interventions in Africa since 1960. In economic terms, the former French colonies in West Africa are using a common currency that's controlled by the French treasury.
Well, Mali is very important. First of all, it was a French colony. Second of all, the French have maintained some kind of presence, military or otherwise, as well as political and diplomatic influence over the country right after its independence in the 1960s. And from Mali, they could do a lot of surveillance work, intelligence work, and military interference in other countries across the Sahara region, including southern Libya.
Critics say the currency channels more money to France and it strengthens its monetary policy on African nations. In order for that to change, experts say there needs to be a radical change from the past colonial policies.
China has slammed a visit to Taiwan by a group of American legislators, saying it has fully exposed Washington's true face as the spoiler of peace in the strategically sensitive Taiwan Strait. A U.S. congressional delegation, led by Senator Ed Markey of Massachusetts, arrived in Taipei on Sunday and met with the island's president, Tsai Ing-wen, on an unannounced 2-day visit amid tensions between Beijing and Washington over a recent controversial visit by U.S. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi to the self-ruled island. In a statement, China's defense ministry said that the U.S. lawmakers' trip is against Beijing's sovereignty and territorial integrity and fully exposes the true face of the United States as a spoiler and spoiler of peace and stability in the Taiwan Strait. The ministry also vowed to smash any form of foreign interference in its domestic affairs. In response to the visit, China's defense ministry also carried out more exercises near Taiwan. The military says the exercises are a stern deterrent to the U.S. and its political games undermining regional peace. Meanwhile, the Chinese Foreign Ministry said the latest visit is a blatant violation of the One China principle.
China once again urges the U.S. to abide by the One China principle and the three Sino-U.S. joint communiques, handle Taiwan-related issues prudently and properly, and stop going further down the wrong path of hollowing out and distorting the One China principle so as not to cause further damage to China-U.S. relations and peace and stability in the Taiwan Strait.
The spokesman added that a small number of U.S. politicians are colluding with Taiwan's separatist forces. He said they are unaware of their limits and their efforts are doomed to failure. The visit by Pelosi promoted Beijing to react with an unprecedented burst of military activity, launching its biggest ever military drills around Taiwan. China considers Taiwan to be a breakaway province that should be reunited with the motherland under the internationally recognized One China policy.
What we see is the U.S. trying to provoke tensions where they don't have to. What we have to keep in mind is since 1972, under the Shanghai Communique, the United States government has recognized that there is only one China. Taiwan is part of China. But what we see right now with these tensions being built up is the U.S. trying to manipulate international law and use the idea of American exceptionalism to say that it's trying to help Taiwan and it's not trying to provoke tensions between Taiwan and China.
Tensions between the U.S. and China simmer at a new high since House Speaker Nancy Pelosi visited Taiwan earlier this month. Now, the U.S. President's Indo-Pacific coordinator, Kurt Campbell, has revealed that Washington will send aircraft and warships to the Taiwan Strait in the coming weeks, claiming the U.S. expects China to put more pressure on Taipei in the next few months. The senior White House official also stated that Washington is going to announce an ambitious roadmap for trade with Taiwan in the coming days. That's while China claims Taiwan as its own territory and has repeatedly warned against the island's growing ties with Washington. Tensions are high, and the bill moving through Congress threatens to overturn Sino-U.S. relations and could prompt a stronger response from Beijing. The Taiwan Policy Act aims to upgrade ties with the island by designating it as a major non-NATO ally. The Taiwan Policy Act of 2022 would also bolster Taiwan's defense capabilities with $4.5 billion in security aid.
I mean, what the U.S. is doing right now is trying to continue to impose U.S. hegemony in Asia, with the U.S. losing hegemony in places like Latin America. It is trying to stay relevant and maintain the relationships that it does have.
It's obvious that the U.S. is only continuing to elevate tensions with China, and Taiwan could end up being caught in the middle of a conflict.
Iqra bismi rabbika alladhi khalaq.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Ya ayyuhal muzammil qum al-layla illa qalila nisfahu
aw inqus minhu qalila aw zid 'alayhi wa rattilil qur'ana tartila.
Qad 'awtuka rabbi bi qur'ani jannibni harrani.
Let's recite the Quran.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على محمد وآله الطاهرين
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وأجل فرج.
Assalamu alaikum, respected brothers and sisters all over the world hearing us on IRIB English Radio. So thank you so much for joining us today, and welcome to Let's Recite the Quran Kareem, a series of Quranic sessions held by IRIB English Radio in cooperation with Sevier International Schools Network. Thank you so much. So, brothers, rule number one says that whenever you see a word having Tanwin Fatha, what is Tanwin Fatha? Huh?
Double Fatha. Yeah,
double Fatha. An in yeah. Un, okay? Not, we're not talking about in and un. An, okay?
Yes.
Tanwin Fatha. So whenever you see Tanwin Fatha, if you want to stop at that word, if you want to stop that there, okay? Change the Tanwin Fatha to Alif Med. All right?
Yes.
So if you see words having Tanwin Fatha, they have an Alif as well with themselves. Yes. For example, in the Man amana billahi wal yawmil akhir wa amila sa
lihan.
Tanwin Fatha.
Yes.
Tanwin Fatha is enough. Why do you put an Alif after Tanwin Fatha? But here, وَعَمِلَ صَالِحًا, doesn't matter for what, even if it is at the end of an ayah, okay? Or in the middle, okay? You want to stop here. وَعَمِلَ صَالِحًا. What should you do? Okay, Ali Nasir, what about this? Why should we say صَالِح? Why there is an alif? for example, Salihin. You don't know? What about Hussein Rahullah? Why is there an Aleph?
Because of Mad.
Uh-huh. Oh, do you know?
Because we reduce one fatah.
No, we have
new answers. I really didn't have these answers, okay? They were new, but they were wrong. So the answer is this. This Alif is written with that Tanwin Fatha always, okay, you see. Except with Ta Marbuta, with Ha, which has two dots on the top. Oh, except with that.
Yes.
Other letters, you have this Alif with this, okay? With this Tanwin, after Tanwin Fatha, you have this Alif. Why? Because it tells you that there is a rule in Tajweed that whenever you stop at the word having this Tanwin Fatha, do not stop while it is Tanwin Fatha. Salihan. Wa'amilan salihan. Finished. No. Change this Tanwin Fatha to an Alif. Fatha plus Alif. Wa'amilan saliha. Han, ha. This Alif is there to tell you that, mister, look at me. I am Alif. Change this Tanwin Fatha to me.
Yes.
Sub me with this Tanwin Fatha, okay? So Tanwin Fatha will be changed to?
Alif.
Alif Mad. Alif Mad, not an Alif. Alif Mad, okay? Alif Mad means a Fatha plus
Mad.
So, Sali Ha. Ha, okay, the letter Ha will have the Fatha with an Alif. Ha, Ha. Alright?
Yes.
So, how do you recite? Wa'amilan Saliha. Alright?
Yes.
Wa'amilan Saliha. Okay, go to Surah Naba, chapter 30 of the Quran. Just 30 of the Quran Kareem, okay? Surah An Naba. It starts with عَمَّ يَتَسَأَلُونَ عَنِ النَّبَئِ الْعَظِيمِ. So this surah has a lot of verses ending in Tanwin Fatha. Let's go and recite. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
So it's on page 582. عَمَّ يَتَسَاءَلُونَ.
عَمَّ يَتَسَاءَلُونَ.
عَنِ النَّبَإِ الْعَظِيمِ.
عن النبأ العظيم
الذي هم فيه مختلفون
الذي هم فيه مختلفون
الذي هم فيه مختلفون
الذي هم فيه مختلفون
كلا سيعلمون
كلا سيعلمون
ثم كلا سيعلمون
ثم كلا سيعلمون.
Okay, the next ayah ends with a tanween fatha. Is there an alif or no?
Yes.
Yes.
Oh, okay. So we gotta change it to an alif.
Alif.
But if you join this ayah ending in tanween fatha, if you join this ayah to the next ayah. So you got to pronounce it as Tanwin Fatha.
Yes.
Okay, let's go on. We will change it to Alif. There is an Alif.
هذا القرآن يوحدنا لطريق الخير يوجهنا الله تعالى أنزله ورسول الله معلمنا ورسول الله معلمنا هذا القرآن.
Want to learn Quran at home? Join us in our Quranic class. Let's recite the Quran.
ألم نجعل الأرض مهادا؟
ألم نجعل الأرض مهادا؟
والجبال أوتادا؟
والجبال أوتادا
وخلقناكم أزواجا
وخلقناكم أزواجا
وجعلنا نومكم سباتا
وَجَعَلْنَا نَوْمَكُمْ سُبَاتًا.
Okay, look, all the ayahs now, after this, okay? So, the ayahs end in Tanween Fatha.
Yes.
So, let's join some of the ayahs together and also pronounce the Tanween Fatha, okay? We said that, look, we have Tanween Fatha. The next ayah starts with?
Fatha.
Wow. Great. The next ayah starts with wow. Wow. We have wow here. Yes. Then, we had a rule called Tanween. Ah, Fawad, what?
Idgham.
Idgham. Great. So, let's do an Idgham, okay, here. Let's merge. Great. Let's recite a salawat for Fawad.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
Nice answer, thank you. So Tanween Fatha will be changed to? Will be joined, will be merged into?
Wow.
Wow, okay, wow. Let's go. وَجَعَلْنَا اللَّيْلَ لِبَاسًا وَجَعَلْنَا النَّهَارَ مَعَاشًا
وَجَعَلْنَا اللَّيْلَ لِبَاسًا وَجَعَلْنَا النَّهَارَ مَعَاشًا
أحسن. Look, one of the Tanween Fatha we changed into an Aleph Mad, and the other Tanween Fatha stayed at the same as the same. Yes.
Yes.
وَبَنَيْنَا فَوْقَكُمْ سَبْعًا شِدَادًا وبنينا فوقكم سبعا شدادا.
أحسن. سبعا تنوين فتحة pronounced the same.
Yes.
وبنينا فوقكم سبعا.
We can stop here, but better not stop because شدادا is just an adjective for سبعا. Okay, we have to read together. وبنينا فوقكم سبعا شدادا. What rule is applied here? سبعين شدادة.
إخفاء.
Great. Why?
Because the sheen.
Sheen is from the rest of the letters, not from يرملون, not from letters, not and also not إقلاب letter. Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. Great. MashaAllah. Nice memory. وجعلنا سراجا وهاجا.
وجعلنا سراجا وهاجا.
Okay. Great. The rule is just this. Whenever you see a Tanween Fatha, look at the Aleph. There is an Aleph. Okay? Any letter, okay, there is an Aleph with. Except there is one letter. If a word having Tanween Fatha and the letter which has the Tanween Fatha is Ta Marbuta. Do you know Ta Marbuta?
Yes.
Yeah. The Ha has two dots, two eyes on the top. Okay? That is called Ta Marbuta. So, whenever you see such a word, I will tell you what surah. You change the Tanween Fatha into what? Huh? Tanween Fatha into what?
Alif Mad.
MashaAllah, that's wrong.
Ta?
No.
Ha?
Hussein?
Ta Marbuta.
No, we will recite Tanween.
We'll recite the Tanween.
Tanween Fatha.
Okay. We stop there. Should we recite it? Should we read the Tanween Fatha?
No, we will read the Ta.
But Ta has to have something. Letters must be pronounced with vowels. So it should have a vowel.
Fatha.
Yeah.
MashaAllah. Fatha. Again, that's wrong.
Mad.
I say MashaAllah because you tried your best. But the answer was wrong.
Intentionally.
Intentionally, ha? Okay. Yeah, we changed it to Ha.
Ha.
Yes. Okay, Fatima to Zahra. We say Fatima to Zahra. We pronounce the ta, Tamar Butes. But when you say only Fatima, Fatima, chinta to ha?
Yes.
Okay. Any harakat have, any harakat, okay, that the Tamar Buta has will be changed to?
Ha.
Fatima. No, the harakat, the harakat.
Ah, sukun.
Sukun. The Tamar Buta itself, two changes we have. Tamar Buta will be changed to?
Sukun.
No. Tamar Buta will be changed to? Letter to letter, okay? Letter will be changed to letter. Harakat will be changed to harakat.
Yes.
So Tamar Buta will be changed to?
Ha.
Okay? And the harakat, Fatha, Kasra, Dhamma, Tanween Fatha, Tanween Kasra, Tanween Dhamma, whatever, will be changed to?
Sukun.
Sukun. That's it, the rule. The rule with Tamar Buta is this. The Tamar Buta will be changed to?
Ha.
And the harakat, whatever, If it is tanween fatha, tanween kasra, if they have like tanween fatha, kasra, dhamma, whatever, will be changed to
sukun.
Go to Surah Nazi'at, the next surah. The next surah after Naba. Yeah? The next surah. A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytan ar-rajim. Let's recite this. Go to Ayah 6. Yawma. Yawma tarjufur.
Rajifa.
Rajifa. Read it.
Yawma tarjufur rajifa.
Rajifa tu.
Yes.
Okay. We have ta marbuta. And what is the harakat on ta marbuta?
Dhamma.
Dhamma. So suppose whatever the harakat is going to be. Dhamma, fatha, kasra, tanwin fatha, tanwin kasra, tanwin dhamma will be changed to as-sukun. How do you read forward? يوم ترجف
راجفة
راجفة تتبعها
رادفة
رادفة قلوب يومئذ
واجفة
واجفة واجفة تنوين ضمة but will be changed to سكون
yes
and أبصارها
خاشعة
خاشعة again thank you so I think we need to take a break okay and come back, okay? Our brothers, maybe they are tired. So let's take a break, inshallah. We'll go on for the next rules, okay? Inshallah, in the next session. Thank you for being with us in this session. Thanks to IRIB English Radio and also Xavier International Schools Network. We'll come back, okay? Stay with us. Let's recite a salawat and come back.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad wa ajil farajahu.
Let's recite the Quran, a joint production of IRIB English Radio and Xavier International Schools. ذكر وموعظة ونور فيه شفاء للصدور وشفيعنا يوم النشور آياته تروي المدى وصفاته نبع الهدى نلقى الجنان بحبه لن تستقيم حياتنا إلا به هو القرآن والفرقان إليه تنصت الأكوان وفيه تعطر الآذان والقرآن
This is IRIB English Radio. Please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en. Thank you. This is